Center.
Just by way of a backdrop, in the basement of my house, there's a space that I've set up as sort of a mini zendo. And it's got bookcases that have poetry and Zen books, and also pictures and artifacts that I've acquired over the years. And in the spirit of simplicity, I only have a couple of pictures on the wall. Two of them are abstract, and one of them is a fairly large picture of Hanshan and Shite, who are two famous cold mountain poets from China. And the picture was recently given to me by Sensei Ray. So this is the space that I live in. It's also the place that contains the desk that I write talks at. So it has meaning for me. Every morning when I get up, there's a good feeling that comes up for me that this is the place that I'm going to go down and sit. So one morning, after breakfast, I'm on my way down to the zendo to sit. And as I walk down the basement stairs, in front of me was this small swatch of sunlight on the wall. And it was the shape of the small basement window through which the sunlight came. And in that moment, that was all there was, this bright swatch of light. There was no need for anything else. My mind just stopped thinking, and there was just this. But just this, without any thought of just this. And suddenly, just looking at this square of light, I was filled with gratitude. Gratitude for just being alive. And the experience wasn't dramatic, it was actually very simple. Just an appreciation for being alive. So because of this experience, I thought I would say a few words about gratitude. Now, our practice offers us a fresh way to experience our lives, not taking our life for granted, but free to encounter it with joy and gratitude. And this happens when we live fully present to each moment as it arrives. So there's a story. This is a fairly common story, so you may have heard it before. There's a story about a monk. This is also a koan. There's a story about a monk chased by a tiger to the edge of a cliff. And he looks over and he sees there's a vine. So he starts to climb down and he looks below and he discovers there are two more tigers waiting to eat him. And while he's hanging there on the vine, he notices a strawberry plant growing next to the vine. And he picks the strawberry and he eats it, and it's absolutely delicious. And how wonderful, he thinks. And in this moment, he's filled with gratitude for his discovery. Now, this is possible because he was not tangled in the past moment, nor in the future moment. He was totally present to that moment when he sees the strawberry. And still, despite tigers above him and below him, able to appreciate this present moment with gratitude. So we are all part of this splendid interdependent web in which we exist. We belong and are part of everything, and everything is a part of us. Out of the realization of this truth, love and compassion grow, and love and compassion can be a deep source of gratitude. And you know, gratitude doesn't always come from profound insights. Many times life presents itself in a very simple and ordinary way. We may be sitting across the breakfast table from our son or daughter as they eat their morning bowl of oatmeal. And then all of a sudden, we are overcome by love and gratitude for their just being there. How wonderful. In the zendo, when the gong is rung, and we may be filled with gratitude for being present to just that moment, just that bong. We may also be filled with gratitude for just being able to share this practice with the members of our Sangha and realizing that this is a gift. This is a poem that I've read before by Mary Oliver, but I think it fits. The summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So many of Mary Oliver's poems are filled with an appreciation and gratitude for life flowing in and around us. Now, there's another side to this, because gratitude is not always about what makes us happy. Everything is impermanent, and life comes and goes and cannot be contained. Being alive ultimately brings suffering, suffering in many forms. It is inescapable. But even in the midst of suffering and constant change, there is room for gratitude. Roshi Blanche Hartman was the former abbot of the San Francisco Zen Center. One day she was at an outdoor event with her niece, and at some point in the festivities, Blanche's niece notices that her aunt does not look well. So she was motivated enough to call an ambulance, and Blanche was rushed to the hospital. Turns out she was having a heart attack. 10 days later, she was leaving the hospital with her husband and was struck by a thought. Wow, I'm alive. I could be dead. The rest of my life is a free gift. She goes on to say, or to think, I was flooded with gratitude just to be alive. Her teacher, Suzuki Roshi, always said, just to be alive is enough. And Maizumi Roshi used to say, appreciate your life. Right? And that appreciation that alive is enough is an expression of gratitude. Like many of you, I had a difficult childhood, and that brought suffering. And after many years, I now see how my suffering was actually a gift, something to be grateful for, because the suffering sowed the seeds that led me to this practice. There's a Buddhist prayer which goes, may I be given the appropriate difficulties so my heart can truly open with compassion. And no less than the Dalai Lama said, remembering that not getting what you want is sometimes a wonderful stroke of luck. So can we feel gratitude for all our failures, understanding that they can be our teachers? We say in Zen, mind makes. So what we tell ourselves about the pain we're in can determine whether or not it is the enemy or it is a teacher. If we tell ourselves it's a teacher, we will suffer less and maybe experience gratitude for its arrival. Also, being able to feel gratitude in times of difficulty can prevent us from becoming a victim. Gratitude is a gift. We should let it inspire us to act on it. Let it inspire us in our daily lives to reach out to others with an open heart. I personally feel deeply grateful to be alive. And my challenge is, when I see someone else's suffering, can I use this life for which I feel so grateful to reach out to them? And of all things, a quote by JFK. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Thank you.